I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I am super, super excited to have my next guest here. As I was mentioning to her, I have wanted to have this guest on for a very long time. And so I was very, very excited to be connected again with her. We have Deborah Lipman, who is a celebrity manicurist and the brand founder of Deborah Lipman. And we're going to talk to you a little bit about how she founded the company. If you are not familiar with Deborah Lipman, as I mentioned, she's a celebrity manicurist and brand founder of Deborah Lipman Nail Care. But I also noticed that she recently has some new items that she has gone into too, which we'll get her to share a little bit more about. But some of the celebs that are known Deborah Lipman fans, Laura Dern, Lady Gaga, Oprah Winfrey. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I, for one, am also such a huge fan. I carry my own with me wherever I go. And I'm constantly telling people all about her. She's also from Arizona. And for those of you who sort of follow me and my journey, I'm also from Arizona. We were on a panel together and got to hear that she also is a graduate of Arizona State University. Very, very exciting. So her journey includes many, many things that I want to get her to talk about as well, like no cuticle cutting mantras and all kinds of cutting edge products that she's developed, like the brand's Gel Lab Pro Color, which is absolutely a staple for me. She's taken an idea that she had and turned it into a thriving business. In addition, she's a jazz singer, a very, very good one. So without further ado, welcome, Deborah.
Thank you, Kara. I am blushing.
So great. So really, really excited to have you on. So before we get into hearing about your company, Deborah Lipman, I'd love to hear more about you. And so you grew up in Arizona. Did you always think that you'd be a New York City jazz singer, but also an entrepreneur?
I never thought I would be an entrepreneur. I never thought I would be an entrepreneur. From the time that I was 4 years old, I wanted to sing. And I was singing and doing, I was singing and through, I think my first competition that I was in kindergarten and my girlfriend and I entered a contest and we won. And it was like, oh, I got the bug. I love this. I just love, my passion is singing. And I have been a nail biter, had been a nail biter my whole life until I was in college. I finished college. I was a nail biter. I finished college, got my first job, performing job, with a group in Arizona that tried to be a Las Vegas review. It was called Razzle Dazzle. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of us, Kara. No.
I haven't, but I'm positive that you haven't.
But I can show you a funny picture of when I played a parody of Dolly Parton back in the day. Anyway, when I was doing that review, the director saw my nail-bitten hands, and we were wearing like these Vegas-y costumes, and I, you know, rhinestones and feathers and gorgeous stuff. And then I would pick up the microphone and have these bitten to the nub nails. I mean, they never bled. I never bit my cuticles, thank goodness, but I did bite my nails to the nub. For my whole life, it was my mom's, rest in peace, mom. It was such a difficult thing for her. She wanted me to stop biting my nails my whole life. And when I got into the show, they made me put acrylic nails on. That's like back in the 70s, maybe.
Yeah.
And it changed the way I felt about my hands. I was like, I'd gone from being ashamed of my hands my whole life, not even realizing the shame, the amount of shame that I had. And I would, you know, when I would meet people, I wouldn't want to stick my hand out because embarrassing. When you stick your hand out to greet someone, your eyes go to the hand of the person that you're, you know, so that you can make that lock. And I would be embarrassed. Like I'd be like reaching like this to grab somebody's hand. I just had so much shame in my nails. And when I went to the manicurist and had, when they took me to the manicurist and sat there and made me get artificial nails, I literally went, Kara, from being like this, like to going like this and feeling, I mean, I wear my nails really short and groomed now, but I just felt like a lady. I mean, and I gave myself a manicure before I did the show, and I feel so much better about my hands than I did when I woke up this morning because they just, you know, my cuticles are clean. I like them nude. It's okay. But it's like, it's just, you feel different. It's empowering. It is really, really empowering. So when I finished college and got a music degree, I was singing in Arizona, but you know, let's see, did you ever go to Timothy's Jazz Club?
Yeah, I did.
I was a regular. Oh, I was a regular. Oh, I did some of these monkeys for many years anyway. And I sang in like dance bands for weddings. So I started doing nails, and it was very funny that I worked in a very, very nice salon, and the clients, I would do clients in the salon, and then they would be like on the board of some charity, or they would be the chair of some charity, and I would be singing in the dance band that night. Like I would do their nails on Saturday day, and then I'd be like a singer, and they'd dance by. I was like, it was just the weirdest. It's been something I never could have dreamt. I couldn't have dreamt up that these two careers would mesh and go together. So I moved to New York to pursue music in the early 90s and got a job at Frederick High, which was when it was the heyday, the place to be. It was like that movie Shampoo must have been with Warren Beatty. Like I think it was like totally. That. All the women were fabulous and dressed and perfect and, you know, Bobby Brown sat in my chair. I met Bobby Brown. Her brand was brand new. She was actually selling her lipsticks. I don't remember how many she launched with, but she was selling them there. It was brand new. Everybody knew who she was. I didn't know who she was. I did, you know, because I was from Arizona. I didn't read Max. I remember Frederick High said to me one time, I wore something to work and he was like, this is not Cowboys and Indians, Deborah.
It's like,
hysterical. We got to give you a makeover. So Bobby sat in my chair and she liked her manicure so much that she called Allure magazine without telling me. And Allure magazine then called the salon and said that they wanted to put me in the magazine as one of the best manicurists in New York in their directory. And so they came into the salon and took my picture. And I was just like, what is going on? Like, what is happening? It was my first year living in New York that this happened. Like, it was a whirlwind coming from Cowboys and Indians to moving to a town where I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any friends when I moved here. And now I've got all the friends in the world. And
yeah.
It was a crazy thing that happened. And so then as soon as that magazine came out, like before I knew it, celebrities were sitting in my chair. It was like one after the other were calling for me. And then eventually I get a phone call one day. We had these little princess phones on our stations.
Yeah.
And the phone rang. And it was usually for the client. And I answered the phone and this guy goes, I'm looking for Deborah Lipman. Anyway, long story short, he was an agent. So my assumption was that he had seen me sing somewhere. And I'm like, well, where did you hear me sing? And he was like, sing? Aren't you like a manicurist? I was like, but didn't you say you're an agent? I don't understand. I had no idea that there were agents for the job that I do now, which is editorial and fashion and doing nails in magazines and with celebrities. I have an agent still to this day, a different one. But that, you know, puts me, books my jobs and sends me out to go here, there, and never. It's crazy. I had no idea that this all was even a possibility.
And so who was your first person that you were sent out to meet with?
Mariah Carey.
Oh, that's so wild. So, and you knew who Mariah Carey was.
Oh,
yeah. You knew who she was. That is such a great story. So you went out to see her.
Wait. That is actually not true. Hold on. Roll it back. It's worse than that. Cher.
Oh, Cher. Amazing. Cher. Crazy. And so you hadn't actually worked on her. Like in the salon, but
no, I hadn't worked on her. Someone saw the thing in Allure and called the salon and had me go to her hotel. And it was, it was mind boggling. It was absolutely mind boggling. She has remained, when we talk about like people who have been supportive, she helped me launch my brand. She helped me pick my bottle. We sat on her bed when I was creating the brand. We sat on her bed and I showed her all the packaging I was thinking about, and she went through it all with me. I mean, and to this day, actually, she sells her products. She sells a fragrance now in HSN, and she was on not too long ago, and she said, I know Deborah Lipman's on here. I picked her bottle.
And the fact
that she remembers that, like, you know, 26 years later is, with a world as huge as hers is, it's like, it's amazing what women will do for you. And it's amazing the things that, that people will do for you, period. That, you know, yeah. Sometimes you have to.
Wild. So what was the point when, how long were you a manicurist before you actually came out with your brand?
Oh my gosh. Well, I started doing nails in like the 80s. And I moved to New York in the 90s, and I launched the brand in 99.
Oh, wow.
It's the brand.
So you were continuing to do it. Now, what was kind of obviously you were using a lot of other people's brands, but what did you see missing?
I saw so many things missing. And, you know, at the time that, I mean, I would see in certain products like that the brush wouldn't have enough bristles in it, or that the stem would be so long that the polish would drip down the stem and then drip down the brush. And if the brush was too long, right, it'd be pooling up before you could even polish with it. I saw one of the really big things that I saw was that you couldn't find in the luxury market. Like if I wanted, I'm working in fancy salon in New York, and if I wanted to send my clients down into the floor of Bergdorf Goodman afterwards to buy what they needed for their nails, because they would say, just tell me what I need. I want to buy stuff. There was one cuticle cream there was the Dior cuticle cream, period. That was the only other than each brand would have maybe a couple of, you know, Chanel had a couple of colors and Dior would have a couple of colors and Lancôme would have a couple of colors. But nobody at that time, really, the brands, the bigger brands just put nail polish on to keep people at their station, like keep people really shopping them. Mm-hmm. And there was no real thought to the formulas. Like on it, Chanel had fabulous colors when they launched Vamp, when that whole thing happened. And I was, oh my gosh, this is just a little sidebar. When they launched Vamp, I was working at Fakai and I'd already had a bit of a name. And the people from Chanel called Fakai and said that they wanted to take me into a private room and show me this polish and get my opinion of it before it came out. And so we went to this private room where they locked the door. It was like this whole thing. And I was just like, yeah, I mean, I just...
Hysterical.
Yeah, hysterical. I mean, when I think back of it now, it's just like, I can't even believe it.
That's hysterical. Well, I mean, how many people actually are on the ground doing this prior to launching a brand as well? I mean, I don't know how many in your industry like had actually been manicurists prior to actually launching the product.
I think we were about the first, but there have been many to follow.
Yeah.
And that's great. It used to actually, so in the early days of having a business, when, you know, when I would see somebody else was going to launch a business, I would just feel like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, the world's going to end. Our retailers can't carry two brands. But I didn't. But now I know that carrying two brands is better. It's like they give, you know, it's things that I just didn't know.
So you and I touched on this right before we started recording, but so you started the company. Who did you start the company with?
I started the company with my husband, Jude, and my brother, Mark. And it was something that I talked about for a long time. I kept talking about, you know, because my clients would say, because it was such the era, that was the era of like people who, you know, really makeup and hair people were doing, starting to do their own brands, people that were known. And so people were saying to me, you need to do your own brand. You need to do your own brand. And I'm like, what do I know about nail polish? Like, yeah. And I'm a singer and like, I'm here to sing. I want to sing. And so I kept talking about it and kept talking about it. And I'd be like, well, if I were going to do a brand, when I started the company, this is an interesting mistake that I made. Emotionally, as a singer, I wanted to save my name, Deborah Lipman, for my singing career. Mm-hmm. So I decided to call the brand Lipman Collection. I have no idea
why, but you did.
And did I know then that it was going to be more than a collection of nail polishes and that it was going to be other beauty treatments? No, I didn't know that, but I did. And when I started to get press for the brand, which I did because I worked with celebrities. So that is one thing that has always been like something that I've had in my pocket that has been a treasure that my celebrity clients have, I know I'm veering a little bit, but my celebrity clients have helped me and talked about me and let me use their names in the press without paying them. Like back in the day, you used to pay somebody to do something. I've never paid a celebrity for any mention for anything. And we realized when we started getting press that people would say in the beginning of an article, it would say, so Deborah Lipman of Lipman Collection would blah, 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 blah. And then Lipman, la, 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 and then da, 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 Lipman says, blah, 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 blah. And in the story, we were not getting, like, it was, we weren't getting, oh no, they wouldn't say Lipman. They would say, Deborah does this. Deborah does this. Deborah does that. Deborah does that. And Deborah wasn't in the name of my brand.
Interesting.
So it was, sorry, I said it backwards, but it was like, okay, so then we had to, 10 years in, we had to make the big, big change of dealing with our retailers and telling them that we were going to change the name of the brand, which they were all a fan of. They were all supportive of it. But what we didn't know is that they were going to want us to take back all the inventory they had because they weren't going to put Lipman Collection and Deborah Lipman in the same row. And it was like, that was unfair. That was probably
hard.
That was very, very hard. That was very hard, but it was a move
essential.
That we're very glad that we made. And now we can say that. But that was a tough transition because we are self-funded. We are, you know, self-funded. A few of our friends have put money in and helped us when we were in tight spots. But it's, you know, there's good things and bad things about not having anybody to answer to, having a capital group, like we have to answer to ourselves. And sometimes we make bad decisions. So we can't blame it on, you know, I can't blame it on somebody else. It's my bad decision. If it's a bad decision. But, you know, you live and learn and you're not going to make all good decisions. You're just not. And you have to get, you know, over the years, I've gotten much more comfortable with being wrong. I never wanted to be wrong. I always wanted to be right. Even though I had no idea what I was talking about on the business side. I've had to learn. I had this feeling when I first launched the brand, I had this feeling like I had to know everything about business. And I didn't know everything about the business. And, you know, there were things that I wasn't interested in and still am not interested in. And yet I have had to learn them. Some of them, you know, there are some things in the business that I really, my husband is, it's way above my head in the financial part. It's way above my head still. You go through all these emotional things about, you know, I'm supposed to know everything, but I don't know everything. And is it okay that I don't know everything? And I remember going to hear, I went to some function that one of the lauders was talking at about, I think it was Leonard, and he was saying that, sorry, it wasn't Leonard, I'm completely wrong. It was the guy who started Victoria's Secret, Les Wexner.
Okay. Yeah.
Wexner, sorry.
No, that's
last week Smith was talking, and he said that he didn't know a thing about bras, but he knew he was a shopkeeper, and he knew how to sell things, and hence he, you know, Victoria's Secret. I'm talking about Victoria's Secret. He used to do the nails for Victoria's Secret forever, by the way. But it was a very, that was a very powerful learning for me. It was like, okay, I can.
You don't need to know it all in order to actually make it all happen, but you need to be smart enough to bring in the people that actually, I always say it's not even about, you know, not being wise about things. It's about being interested and doing these different things. I'm a big believer that we can all learn, if we choose, right? But maybe, you know, you're more interested in, and that's what we get to do, as I tell my kids, when we grow up, we can actually focus on the things, hopefully, that we're most interested in.
Yeah.
So I think that that is, and have time to do things like sing as well, which we'll definitely get to. But one of the stories that I would love for you to tell is, you and I were on this panel in Las Vegas together a few years ago, and I absolutely love the story when you launched and you gave some bottles to a very well-known customer of yours, and something happened, but I won't give it away. But I was dying of laughter. I lost my whole train of thought after hearing the story, and I've probably told your story like 50 times.
Loved
you even more for sharing it. So can you, because we all have our production stories that are nightmares, but please share that if you would.
So Martha Stewart has been one of my, she was one of my first celebrity clients, if not my very first. And she had encouraged me to launch a brand of color. Like, she had encouraged me to do it. And when I was, I used to sing at her party. She used to hire me to sing at her parties, but she would be like, okay, I'm not going to hire you to sing at this next party if you don't create this brand. Like, she would like,
I love it. Like, oh, God, I love it.
She's so awesome. So I had been working on it and working on it. And I was doing her nails weekly, going to the studio where she was doing a TV show and doing her nails weekly. And she would want, you know, the update on what was happening. And then we had gotten to the point where the polish had been, was going to launch in August. It's going to launch in August or September. And she wanted me to show her, she wanted me to bring her own set of polish before it launched. She wanted me to make her own set. And I was like, I don't have, you know, I don't have a set. And she was like, well, I want a set. And so I had like jars, like her jars that had screw on tops, big screw on tops. And I finally was like, she was like, you know, if you come next time and don't have the polish, you're like, you can't do my nails. Sure. You know, with love, but also serious. So I took my bottle, I took the her jar, and I poured into the bottle. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't want this to be like when you buy a bag of potato chips and the bag is half empty. I want my clients to get a full bottle, because that drives me crazy when you get an empty bottle. So I filled it up to the rim with brim, put it all together, gave it to her. She went home and put it in her medicine cabinet, and then she went away on vacation for several weeks and turned off the air conditioning in her house. And she came back from vacation, and my phone rang. This was in the day before cell phones. My phone rang, and I answered the phone, and she's like, Debbie, this is Martha. And I was like, She was like, get a chair and sit down. And I was like, and I'm like, okay. And like, I had to pull a chair into the kitchen where the phone was like on the wall, and like sit down. And she was like, there's something wrong with your bottle. And so she was like, I went away on vacation and all of your polish exploded in my medicine cabinet. And it was all over my bathroom, my rug, that like it was just, it was everywhere. And she was like, so you need to call your vendor like immediately. So we went through, we called our vendor and we were like, we went through everything we could think of. We eventually got in the car and drove up to the filler just to go through every possible step. What could have gone wrong? Because they had paperwork, you know, they have paperwork on every single thing and what the viscosity is and how much they're going to pour, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, we don't pour it up to the neck. This couldn't have happened. And a couple hours into like going through the whole facility with them, because they were so great to like try to figure it out with us, we were sitting back with the president of the company and he said, is there any chance that you poured these bottles by yourself? And I said, yes, there is, very proudly. He said, is there any chance that you poured it up to the neck of the bottle, through it filling the neck of the bottle? And I said, yes, I did, because I want my customers to get all of the nail polish that they deserve for what the price they're going to pay, no matter what that is. And he said, nail polish expands in the heat. Now, then he said, is there a chance that your, because I didn't tell him it was Martha Stewart. I just said a friend of ours had an explosion. And he said, is there a chance that your friend didn't have air conditioning for a period of time?
There you go.
Nail polish expands in the heat. And I was just like, and when I called Martha to tell her, she was like, oh my God, I'm so happy that it wasn't your bottle. I'm so happy that it wasn't your bottle. This is, thank you. Thank you so much for letting me know that it wasn't your bottle. I'm really relieved and I'm so happy for you. And by the way, nail polish is really hard to get out of rocks. She's always got a funny quip.
Like if you went to a dinner party and you said, who were the three people that you would hate to get that phone call from? Martha Stewart would for sure be on that list, right? I mean, it is just so, and here you are, a brand new entrepreneur, starting a company, trying to figure it all out. Anyone who's ever started a company, and again, I've told your story so many times because I was just dying. I felt for you. I just couldn't believe it. Martha, I'm sure, got it out of the rug and it was all good. But did you think at that moment that you were done, like that you were giving up? I mean, that you were like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
No, I was too far along.
That's amazing. I love it.
Far along, and we had put all our own money in it.
And so you were like, okay, we know we're not going to do that again.
That was not something. It was like, how do we fix this? How do we fix this? How do we fix this? So, you know, I was young and I had tons of energy and I was ready to fight and it was too late. It was just not something that was even a possibility in my brain that we could give up.
I love that. Well, I think taking that kind of feedback, and like you said, it's, you know, there's a lot of people who would take that as, I've got to go down and never get back up again, but you didn't. I mean, you just, and I think the best entrepreneurs and founders are the ones that figure out, you know, okay, I screwed up on that and now I got to get back up and figure out how to go on. And that's what I've so admired.
Kind of almost, I mean, probably not every day anymore, but for many years, it would be like, okay, what fire do we need to put out today? There's a bunch of good stuff that happened, and there's almost always a fire that you need to put, you know. So I got a lot stronger, and I took things a lot less personally, because it was never about me. But I got much, much stronger. I was not the person that I am today with, you know.
Well, and that's how you learn too. Like I've said on those, I've learned so much from consumer feedback too, that at times when I feel lost as a founder, I'll get on, you know, I'll go into customer service emails, I'll get on the phone lines. I mean, I know that you still maintain that connection with your consumers as well. And I think it's super valuable, right? It's better than focus groups, because they'll tell you.
We had a complaint last week. We had a complaint, and I got the email that there was a complaint, and I read what the complaint was, and I thought, I'm going to call this woman and talk to her about it to try to understand exactly. She thought her polish had been peeling, and I just thought, and she knew, she seemed in her email to know a lot about the brand and have used it before, and she couldn't figure out why it was peeling, and I didn't really understand. So I wanted to get on the phone with her and have her talk me through what she did. And as, first of all, I spent an hour on the phone with her becoming new best friends because I love people and she lives in the neighborhood and we're probably getting together. My husband's like, we don't have an hour for you to solve this problem.
No,
It got no choice. This is what I have. And, you know, it turned out that she had mistakenly, she was using a base coat for a top coat, a top coat for a base coat. And that happens. That is something that happens frequently. More frequently than I'd like to admit. I tried, you know, top coat goes on the top and the base coat goes on the base. But, you know, we don't always look at our, you know, look and read our directions or look and see, you know, like, first of all, I need my glasses now to like look at ingredient. What's happening here? Like, okay, this is Sarah Smut. Like I have, like, you know.
Look at it. That, I love it. So tell us, you know, for those who aren't as familiar as I am about Deborah Lipman products, how are they unique? I mean, what is it that makes them stay on well and so that you don't have to have a manicure as frequently?
Well, we have a double patented formula in the polish. And it wasn't always as, like, we have also changed the formula over the years as ingredients and technology have gotten better. The polish that I launched 24 years ago was, I have to say, it was as good as it could be at the time, but it is not as it, first of all, it's really healthy now. We're free of formaldehyde, toluene, dibutyl phthalate, and 10 free beyond that. And then we infused, I didn't want to take out ingredients and not infuse the formula with something. So we put all kinds of skincare ingredients in the formula. So it's, you really feel like you're getting skincare for your nails with every color, with the base coats, with the top coats, with the treatments, and with all of the colors. So it's really layering things that are good for you, ingredients and clean ingredients now in the formula. And we, you know, kept our delicious bottle.
So great. So
when I found this bottle, so I was looking for packaging and looking for packaging. And when this bottle like fell into my hand, and I just looked at it and went, that is my gem. So like there was no cap, you just get the bottle and then to visualize what your logo is going to be. And, you know, is there room? And my name is really long, by the way, So it's hard to put on small things. We do a lot of, gift sets with
smaller bottles. Yeah.
Like my brother does all of that technical stuff for us. And, he's like, you can't use names that are this long. There's no room on the bottle. Like the things you have to learn. No, but I want, and all the names of my polish are song titles. So, you know, sometimes I would want to, I wanted to do a color once called Across the Universe. And my brother was like, are you kidding me with that? Like, it's not going to fit. So
that's hysterical.
We did it anyway. We did it. Great color.
So I want to talk to you about color too, because obviously you have been an influencer before even influencer became a word, right? And, you know, dealing with so many celebrities, but you really create the color palettes. I mean, it when you think about it, I mean, so much of it, it kind of starts with nail polish colors. I mean, I feel like nail polish comes before makeup color. I don't know. Like that's where you can be a little bit different, right?
So the first color that I created, the way that I had never thought that I could create a nail polish color at all. And this is the Mariah Carey story. So Mariah Carey was nominated. I'd been her manicurist for a long, long, long time. And she had written a song for a movie and it was Oscar nominated, and a song with Whitney Houston. She was going to be on the Oscars. And she, you know, my celebrity clients are always going somewhere fabulous and getting dressed and with the hair and the makeup. And it's always a big, you know, it's always a big to do. But the Oscars, for the first time, she hadn't been to this event. So for her, it was a big deal, and dresses were coming, and the hair person had like was bringing all kinds of ideas and things like that, and the makeup person Christopher Buckle had all of these, you know, all of these amazing ideas, and makeup was being sent to them, and hair was being sent to them by everybody, and I was like, what can I do? I have to do something special for her. I have to do something special for this night. And so I hand poured. I took a couple colors and poured them not into this bottle, but into just a bottle, and created a color that I presented to her and that she wore on the Oscars. And she was like, after that happened, she said, all my friends want to get this polish. And I was like, oh, well, I have no idea how
to create it. Yeah.
I have no idea. Like, I was just pouring. Like, it was just like,
I love it.
Be able to do it again. I don't know how to do it again. I always say, like, she took her big high heels. She was like, go and make polish. You have a talent for color. She was like, you have a talent for color. And I didn't know that about myself. It was something that I did in a situation where I was trying to be a good person and figure something out. But it wasn't something that I thought, oh my gosh, look at this creation I've made, because it was a nude. Meanwhile, it turns out that nudes are my specialty now. So many years later, I can't get enough of a good nude. So those are, you know, I think what one of the things our customer just loves about our brand are our nudes.
So which is your favorite nude color? It's like, which child is your favorite?
That's exactly
right?
What I was going to say, but I didn't want to say that to you because you have children. I don't have children. These are my children.
Yeah.
I say whichever one I'm putting on at the moment is my favorite at the moment.
I love it.
I have to love them all. I can't stand.
How many colors do you have now?
Oh my gosh. I mean, over the years, I've made hundreds and hundreds of colors, hundreds and colors. And now it's at the point where you really try. We have to work hard to go, okay, wait, we did something similar in this 6-piece set or in this 9-piece set. We need to make sure that we're not, you know, I never want to duplicate a color unless I'm intentionally doing, you know, this was, you know, greatest hits.
So the Gel Lab Pro Color.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the gel, so many of those products are not so terrific, but you've done an amazing job. You stopped me from doing gel, traditional gel, when that came out, because I wanted a nail polish that lasted longer, especially on my feet. I would always go to the beach and it would screw up my nails. And then I found yours. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So how did you come up with that idea?
So when the gels that you put your hands in the light started becoming a thing, I was like, well, first of all, I used to say the jury's still out on those lamps, although recently the jury came in and said that they're not good for you.
Good, yeah.
After all of these years. But I thought, I want to make something. What do people love about the gel polish? They love that it stays on longer. They love that it's that it goes on smoothly and doesn't have any streaks in it. They love that it's got like a cushiony feel to it, like that it's. And so I went to the lab and I really worked on the formula with the chemist. I'm not a chemist, but I was like, these are the things we want, and we tested and tested and tested until then they found a double patented ingredient that went into this product that we were the first to get, and that we were that did everything that I wanted it to do. You get that plumpy look. It's easy to apply. It's shiny. That's the other thing that people love about the gels, and it stays on longer. It doesn't stay on as long as something that you artificially cook your hands in.
Yeah,
does not do that. But it gives you days longer wear than our original formula.
It is, no, it's so, so good. So I cannot end this without asking you, so no cutting cuticles. Why is that?
No cutting cuticles. So your skin is the largest organ in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Your cuticle is the end of your skin on your fingers and your toes. It is meant to be there. So it is, what happens is because we don't wear gloves and we use our hands all the time, and depending on what your body's DNA is, everybody's cuticle grows differently. And if you need to push it back. If your cuticle grows up your nail, you need to use a cuticle remover and push it back. And that I recommend you do in a manicure once a week. But you push, if you are using a proper product, and this is one thing that I will say that is worth, one of the most proud things about my brand is my cuticle remover. I get so the proud. Most, it's something that people can use at home. And also, I designed this product for the end user, not for salons. I mean, not for manicurists. I mean, many manicurists use it, many salons use it, which is, you know, a huge honor and I love that. But I really designed everything so that you could do it yourself when you got home if you didn't know how to polish your own nails. And the cuticle is, if you cut it, if you take a nipper and you cut it, you are opening your body to the possibility of bacteria and free radicals and infection coming in. And I'm sure anybody that's watching this or listening to this note has at some point nipped something that caused blood. Yeah. And when you do that, it's opening your body to infection. I mean, obviously.
Totally.
So it's just really important that you hydrate. Like every time you wash your hands, you should rehydrate. And I thought we would have learned that in COVID, and we did. But then, you know, we got a little bit away. I think we've gotten a little bit away from it, but you can't get too much moisture. You can't get too much moisture. And if you really moisturize your cuticles, you're not going to have things that you need to cut off.
Definitely. Well, I love that you've been preaching that, because I think so many people forget about it. And it's, I always think that you have so much wisdom there around this whole topic that I think everybody needs to hear about it. I just want to ask you a couple more questions. I know we're running a little low on time, but I want to, if you're okay, I want to just ask you a couple more. So when you think back on building this company, obviously you didn't have the experience. What of all the advice that you got? And I mean, what do you remember anything just amazing that you receive from people that you think back on, okay, well, Bobby Brown told me this, or Cher told me this, or Martha told me this, or whatever, that just gave you the confidence to know, okay, I can go do this.
I'll tell you what happened, the pivotal moment. I was with my best girlfriend, who had been hearing me talk about for a couple years, well, if I did a nail polish brand, it would be blah, 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 blah. And if I did a nail polish brand, it would be kind of like blah, 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 as I was like thinking of these things. And I was standing one day, I will never forget this moment, in the store C.O. Bigelow in New York City, small apothecary. And my girlfriend and I were standing at looking at nail polish. And I said, well, if I did a nail polish, I would. And she did that one more time without making steps toward actually doing it, I'm never going to let you talk about it again. You can never speak about it to me again. Do it. And I was just shit. She's actually someone who's put some money into the company at the beginning. She's got big brown eyes, and she looked at me, and she was never stirred. She's the happiest, most positive person.
Amazing.
And this was like, bam, it was just a moment where I was like, okay, I got to buck up. It's got to happen. I got to do it. I got to take one step at a time and figure it out.
Yeah, I love it. Well, and that's what you need. You need those people that are supporting you and backing you and giving you that extra shove, right? I think over and over again. Now I absolutely love that. Well, I could talk to you all day, and I hope that we get to do more
of this.
Thank
you so much. And back at you.
Definitely, you have so much wisdom. I'm so proud of you, what you've built too. And I truly mean it. I think that even, you know, when you're a big name like you are, I think sometimes people really need to say that back to you, because I think it's definitely what you've built is something that
creates delight for so many. You are such a great role model for so many people who aren't sure whether or not they can do something big, and you've really done it. Oh, the one last thing, I mentioned the jazz singer. So you were barely mentioning to me that you're going to be on an album coming up. I mean, you've continued to do that, which is amazing.
Yeah, I continue to sing, and occasionally I will sing in a club. I will sing at Birdland in New York City. And I have a friend that I met named John Minnick, who's a recording artist, and he has asked me. I sung on one of his albums a few years ago, actually the night before I recorded, the night before shut lockdown. We were like in the recording studio going, should we be here? Should we even like be here doing this? And made this beautiful, beautiful song. And he's doing an album he's doing another album, and he's done several since then, but he's doing another album soon that with a really famous songwriter. And the songwriter has heard all of his music, and the songwriter said, you have to have Deborah do a duet with you on your next album. And so it's like, I sing backgrounds for Leanne Rimes at Carnegie Hall.
Amazing.
Mic drop. I know her through, I know her through her manager, but I was her New York manicurist for, you know, when she comes here and does things, I knew her through her nails. And she's had me sing on other projects with her on television, on Good Morning America and the Today Show. And then a few months ago, she had a gig at Carnegie Hall, and I got to sing at Carnegie Hall in my lifetime. So keep your dreams alive.
No, I love it. And so many people give those things up, right? They figure that they're, you know, this is now their lane and they're going to stick with it. But I think that you've continued to do amazing, really great things. So I'm very, very excited and proud of you for sure. So, well, thank you. We'll have everything in the show notes where people could get your product, obviously direct to consumer, Amazon, as well as in so many retailers as well. So thank you for taking the time to come on and share your amazing founding story. And thank you everybody for listening. Goodbye for now. Thanks again for listening to The Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my book, Undaunted, which I share my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And thanks everyone for listening. Have a great rest of the week and 2023, and goodbye for now. Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.